Blessed and honored to be here. We are here for one purpose, God's book. My book's not worth a nickel if it doesn't say what God's book says. It's not about selling books. It's not about winning an argument. But it is about helping people understand who the one Most High God is in relation to His supernaturally conceived virgin-born Son, our Savior, Redeemer, Messiah, and soon coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. I love both. I'm a servant of both. I'm a minister of Jesus Christ. Have been since I was 19 years old. And I submit to this pastor and these elders and to the Holy Spirit, to the Word of God. Turning to Exodus chapter 2, we'll read several verses here. We'll read verses 23, 24, 25. Then we'll go over to chapter 3 and read two or three verses there. There's nothing like God's holy book. This is the book of books. This is the greatest history book in the world. Greatest science book in the world. Greatest romance book in the world. This is God's book. Don't you love God's book? Hallelujah. And it came to process of time that the king of Egypt died and the children of Israel sighed. Everybody say sighed. By reason of the bondage, and they cried. Everybody say cried. And their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. And God heard their groaning, and God remembered His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, as the brother said about God loving these men. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God knew their plight. Aren't you glad God knows our plight? All right, and then to chapter 3, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Aren't you glad we have a God who knows our sorrows? And then the 18th chapter of Luke and verse 1, and it says, He spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not to faint or not to give up. Then we'll go to verse 6, and the Lord said, Jesus said, Hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall not God avenge His own elect, who cry, everybody say cry, day and night unto Him, though He bear long with them. I tell you that He will avenge them speedily. Jesus says, Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall He find faith on the earth. I'd like to talk to you for a few minutes on a subject we might call the power of crying out. There's so much in the Bible. When I begin to study this on my own, and look at this subject about crying out, I was amazed at how much I could find in the Scripture about crying out to God. And I know that sometimes, you know, it's just an unutterable cry of our heart. Sometimes we might wake up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and wet our pillow with a silent cry of tears. But sometimes we need to open up our mouths and cry out to God. Amen? You mothers know the difference when you hear your child in the other room and he says, Mama, you may not respond to that. But if he says, Mama, you will respond to that. God is our Father. He's our loving Heavenly Father. And sometime He wants us to cry out. Sometime we have to get past, now I lay me down to sleep, and get desperate with God. I know I'm speaking to praying people, but anyway, I heard about a little boy. He was learning how to pray, and his mother put the little prayer on the wall, now I lay me down to sleep. And she said, Son, every night I want you to get on your knees by the bed, and I want you to pray this. So he did it for a few nights. One night they said he was tired, and so he just got in bed and prayed. And then the next night, he just said, God, there it is. You can read it for yourself. Now, we don't do that, but sometimes we're a little bit lazy with our prayer. I saw a sign on a church marquee recently. It said, much prayer, much power. Little prayer, little power. No prayer, no power. That is not a good place to be. Can you say amen? But God does respond to the cry of His people. Israel down in Egypt cried out to God. And Moses, God said to Moses on the backside of the desert, the cry of my people has come up to me, and I want you to go down there and tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go. It's awesome when God hears your cry. Then in the 18th chapter of Luke, Jesus gives us a parable. This is the only parable I know of in His teachings that He told us what it was going to be about before He gave the parable. What was this parable going to be about? He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray and not give up. So before we get into the parable, we know what it's going to be about. Persistent prayer. Perseverance in prayer. Not giving up in our prayers. And the story is of the woman who was a widow. I'm reading between the lines a little bit, but I believe she and her husband had worked hard. They had accumulated some goods. And then there were some people came in after his death to take it away from him. There was only one man that could stop this, and this was the local judge. And she kept going back to him and going back and going back. And you know what he said? He said, I don't fear God and I don't fear man, but this woman's going to worry me to death. Give me that paper and let me sign it. Now, this doesn't teach us anything about God, because He's not an unjust God in any way. He's our loving Heavenly Father. Go back to what it said. Jesus is teaching you and I persistence in prayer, to cry out and to keep crying out. And then Jesus said, hear what the unjust judge saith, and shall God not avenge His own elect who cry unto Him day and night? And then He wound it up by saying, when the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? You know what that says to me? It takes faith to cry out. But the cry of God's children will move His hand. Let me say this to you mothers. If you have straying children, you grandmothers, if you have straying grandchildren that the enemy has enticed with alcohol and drugs and other harmful things, there is hardly anything that will move the hand of God like the tears of a godly mother or grandmother. We have mothers and grandmothers say, come and help us pray for my child or my grandchild. We say, yes, we'll be glad to do it. But let me tell you something. You have power with God, and He will respond to your cry and your tears. Can you say amen? I'm here to encourage you tonight a little bit if I can. There was a man by the name of Bartimaeus. Mark chapter 10. Jesus is coming out of Jericho, and Bartimaeus had had his problem so long, it became a part of his name. Have you ever heard this man preached on without him being called blind Bartimaeus? Have you ever seen anybody that had their problem so long it became part of their name? Old Drinking John. Old Lying Tom. Old Gossiping Thelma. Hope they're not here tonight. I'm just But this man had his problem so long, everybody knew him by blind Bartimaeus. And he's sitting by the wayside with his blind man cloak, possibly his blind man cup. And he hears a commotion. And he says, what is that? Somebody said, don't you know Jesus and a crowd of followers are coming up the road? And the Bible said Bartimaeus began to cry out. And he said, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. A lot of people don't like noise, according to what kind of noise it is. They like football noise. They like rodeo noise. They like rock and roll noise. They don't like worship noise. According to what kind of noise it is. So they didn't like this kind of noise. They started saying, man, be quiet. Don't disturb the program. But the Bible said the more they tried to hush him up, the more he cried out a great deal. Now, I love every verse in the Bible, but I really, really, really like this one. It said Jesus stood still. I want you to know the crowd, this poor old unworthy blind man stopped our Lord Jesus Christ in his tracks. Now, let me tell you what Bartimaeus knew. He knew that he'd been there a pretty good while, and Jesus didn't come by the week before, and he's afraid he wouldn't be there next week. So he was taking his opportunity. Folks, when the Spirit of God is moving, that's the time to reach out and touch the Lord as He is passing by. Just reach the hem of His garment. Can you say amen? Take the opportunity. When conviction comes into the house, that's the time to hit the altar. That's the time to find the Lord. Amen? Today is the day of salvation. We have no promise of tomorrow. Jesus said, bring him here. Son, what do you want? He said, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus touched him and healed him, and he went home with a new name, Seeing Bartimaeus. I remember one time I cried out to the Lord when I was 10 years old, and I already had a name. I'd told some lies. I'd taken a few things that didn't belong to me. I was a preacher's boy, but had been hanging out with a deacon's son. And he got... But I want you to know I got up from that altar with a new name. My name was born again. Child of God. Son of God. Saved. Hallelujah. Ready for heaven. Praise God. Blood washed. Blood bought. Hallelujah. New creature in Christ Jesus. I like those names a lot better. Can you say amen? Get you a name change here tonight. Hallelujah. The power of crying out. You know, the woman of Cana, Matthew 15:22, cried unto Jesus. Jesus, my daughter is vexed to the devil. Now, we don't know what that was. The Bible didn't tell us what it was. So if we had a loved one that was vexed to the devil, we could relate to this. We don't know how the devil was vexing this daughter. There's a lot of vexed people out there. But this woman cried out to Jesus, Jesus, my daughter is vexed, grievously vexed to the devil. And Jesus heard her cry. And the Bible said from that very hour, the daughter was set free. The power of crying out. You know, our precious Lord Jesus cried out to the Father. In Hebrews 5:7, how many know Jesus is our example? How he prayed. And so Jesus, here's how he prayed. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him, who is that? God the Father, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Our precious Lord Jesus prayed 3 different times the same prayer. I've heard preachers on the radio saying, don't pray about anything more than one time. But they preach, if you pray about anything the second time, it shows that your first prayer was not a prayer of faith. Well, now that's not what this Bible teaches. Jesus taught persistence in prayer. He taught perseverance in prayer. He taught knock, 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 seek, 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 ask, ask, ask. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, Daniel prayed about something for 21 days. And on the 21st day, a big angel showed up. And he said, I was sent the first day you started praying. But I'm glad you didn't quit because I got hindered along the way. Now, who knows how an angel would get hindered, but I'm telling you what, there's some principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of darkness of this world that you and I are battling against. But here's the good news. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let me say this relating to the subject that we've been spending a good bit of time on. But when Jesus prayed this third prayer, he prayed more earnestly. That's what Luke 22 says. That Jesus, being in agony, verse 44, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So that shows that there are degrees of earnestness in prayer. But this woman cried out to Jesus, "Jesus, my daughter is vexed, grievously vexed to the devil." And Jesus heard her cry. And the Bible said from that very hour, the daughter was set free. The power of crying out. You know, our precious Lord Jesus cried out to the Father. In Hebrews 5:7, how many know Jesus is our example? How he prayed. And so Jesus, here's how he prayed. Hebrews 5:7. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto him. Who is that? God the Father, that was able to save him from death and was heard in that he feared. Our precious Lord Jesus prayed three different times the same prayer. I've heard preachers on the radio saying, don't pray about anything more than one time. But they preach, if you pray about anything the second time, it shows that your first prayer was not a prayer of faith. Well, now that's not what this Bible teaches. Jesus taught persistence in prayer. He taught perseverance in prayer. He taught knock, 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 seek, 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 ask, ask, ask. Can you say amen? Amen. You see, Daniel prayed about something for 21 days. And on the 21st day, a big angel showed up and he said, I was sent the first day you started praying. But I'm glad you didn't quit because I got hindered along the way. Now, who knows how an angel would get hindered, but I'm telling you what, there's some principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places and rulers of darkness of this world that you and I are battling against. But here's the good news. The weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, let me say this relating to the subject that we've been spending a good bit of time on. But when Jesus prayed this third prayer, he prayed more earnestly. That's what Luke 22 says. That Jesus, being in agony, verse 44, he prayed more earnestly. And his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. So that shows that there are degrees of earnestness in prayer. And sometimes desperate situations require desperate prayer. A UPC preacher called me, and he is the district superintendent of his state. And he said, I agree with what you're saying. He said, God's already showed it to me. He said, let me tell you how I got it. He said, I went through some real serious pain in my life. And he said, one day I was down in agony praying. And he said, I heard myself saying, Jesus, would you go to your Father for me? Because I'm hurting so bad. And then he stopped and he said, Lord, My brethren are not going to like that. Some folks just haven't been hurting enough. When you get to hurting enough, it'll make you want to dig in the book and see how to go to the source, the giver of every perfect gift and every good gift. If you've ever had a prayer answered, it came from God the Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus prayed more earnestly. This is not one God praying to another God. This is not the second person of the Trinity praying to the first person of the Trinity. This is Jesus Christ, the righteous Son of God, praying to His Father, the supreme God, who was able to save Him from death. And then He finally submitted and said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." So He taught us another lesson in total submission to the Father. Let me just share something with you here. I found out that Jesus has a God. 3 years ago, I didn't know that. That's why I can have compassion on people that are struggling with it. A pastor who has pastored a big church told me a week ago, "Brother Hemphill, I need your book." He said, "I have been so confused about this." He said, "I have actually looked up to heaven and said, 'God, I'm a pastor and I don't even know who you are. I don't know if you're one or three.'" This is a prominent man. You may would know his name if I tell you. I won't tell you. He said, "I was so confused. I didn't know if it was one or three." Well, folks, there's just one God. Amen? Amen. Paul said, 1 Corinthians 8:6, "There are lords many and gods many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." Here's what Jesus said about it. How many would take what Jesus said about it? John 5:44, the NASB says it like this. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You seek honor one of another, but you do not seek the honor that comes from the one and only God, the Father." Now the King James and the New King James put the "only" after God. But every other translation I've found puts the "only" in front of God. That God is the only God. And then Jesus backs it up in John 17:3, "Father, this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." This is what the Bible says about Jesus God. Micah 5:4, one of the greatest prophecies regarding the coming Messiah. Micah 5:4, "He shall stand and feed," He, the Messiah, our Lord Jesus, "shall stand and feed in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord, His God." Jesus said in Matthew 27:46 on the cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" He told Mary in the garden at the tomb, "Go tell my brethren, I ascend unto your Father and my Father, to my God and your God." That's been in the Bible all my life, and I didn't know it till 3 years ago. What is it? It must be, you've heard of selective hearing. Kids, you know, only hear what they want to hear sometimes. But I think that's selective seeing. Sometime we just somehow or other, I don't know. We just don't see it. Ephesians 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." 1 Peter 1:3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." And then the ascended Jesus said in Revelation 3:12, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. Let me say this. Jesus ascended around 32 or 33 A.D. The experts tell us that Revelation was written around 96 A.D. Jesus had been in heaven with the Father for at least some 60 years when this was written. And this is what he said. He that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. So he calls the Father his God four times in that one verse. Who am I to argue with him? God's blessed us with lots of friends. Don't want to lose any of them. I weep over them. God knows them. I get in my prayer closet and I weep over them, because I don't want to lose them to this understanding. God has called me to address this with my church family. I'm not called to lose any of them. So I seek God for humility, for phraseology, for terminology, for the right attitude, whatever, because I've been called on to address it. And God's given us favor. There is an assistant pastor of a 7,000 member Southern Baptist church in the state of Georgia. I sent him my book and he called me. And he said, Joel, this is what the Bible says. Now, he's a doctor of divinity. He's assistant pastor of this 7,000 member Trinitarian church. But he calls me and says, this is what the Bible said. He said, now people may deny this on tradition, but they're not going to deny it on Scripture. And he said, I'll take Scripture over tradition anytime. Yeah. Folks, we're making progress. His truth is marching on. Hallelujah. I'm nobody from nowhere, not smart. I'm from Balcomville, Louisiana. That's about 3 miles past the paper mill over the levee from West Monroe, Louisiana. My brother-in-law said it's the only place he knows that if your car is jacked up on blocks in your front yard, you can get yard of the month from the garden club. Graduated right there in Balcomville from the grammar school. But let me tell you something. God doesn't need ability. All he needs is availability. He can take you from wherever you are to wherever he wants you to go in no time flat. We learned that in the story with Joseph this morning. Amen? And I'm calling names of denomination. I love them all. We're all in this together. They're our brethren. A label, it don't mean a thing in the world to me, because I don't think it means a thing in the world to God. Sometimes labels just divide. And the Lord knows we need to come together and be as one and all speak the same thing. But an 84-year-old Assemblies of God pastor from Louisiana wrote me the other day, and he said, just a note to let you know that I got your track. Can you face reality? It's as good as it comes on the Godhead. Please send me some extra copies. May the Lord bless your ministry. How come it took you so long to write this book? Well, we know Moses was in schooling for 40 years before God sent him to Egypt. Hallelujah. 77-year-old Assemblies of God pastor that's pastored for 22 years in the state of Mississippi wrote me and said, I received your book, To God Be the Glory, and have read much of it. I find nothing in it but facts and truths that are plainly stated in the Bible, God's Word. My father showed me most of the things you wrote about. He's talking about the Heavenly Father, but not in the detail you carried them to. Do not stop. Do not look back. Think back or act back. Because with the degree you do, that is the degree you miss God. He's 77 years old. Assembly of God pastor. If y'all don't mind, I'm just going to shout right here. Hallelujah. 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 It takes God to open people's understanding. Assembly of God pastor from Pennsylvania writes, I want to thank you for sending me your book titled To God Be the Glory. I thoroughly enjoyed that book. Now I'm asking you to send the same book to my brother in New Jersey. He teaches in his local church and conducts a Bible class in his home. Assemblies of God minister from Texas, 73 years old, pastoring one of the largest churches, said to me on the phone, Brother Hemphill, your book has revolutionized my prayer life. I did not know that Jesus said so much about God the Father. I know you have been attacked, but you are not off base. Anytime you take a stand, you're going to be shot at. Assemblies of God minister from Nebraska wrote, minister for 25 years. I just had to write you a note and thank you for being brave and publishing the book. Now, folks, I'm talking about the understanding that God put in this book, okay? It's not about selling books. God told me it was going to be a book. So to God be the glory. People are being impacted by the truth that God gave me. That's all that's important. But anyway, I read To God Be the Glory. I ordered two copies, one for me and one for my best friend. I've had discussions on the Trinity many times, and I've read and studied how that belief came about. So many pagan and wrong beliefs by Christians who think they're doing and believing just right, but just don't know and don't study enough to find out the truth. So I got to thinking about Jesus. It must hurt him when we set him in a position that he did not ask to be in. We must be careful to honor God as Almighty God and Jesus as His Son. I believe it hurts Him when we actually dishonor God by this Jesus-only thinking. So I just want to say thank you for putting this book in print. I'm sure you received a lot of condemnation as a result, but truth needs to be told. God bless you both. Continue your good work. I pray God continue to use your lives in a most special and blessed and holy way. If anybody asks you what I believe, be quick to tell them. I'm not planning on hiding the truth. I agree with what somebody said tonight. If you're going to use this as a witnessing tool, you might want to give this to them first. But anyway, LaBrisca wrote an awesome book here. It's a wonderful book. If you like pictures, mine don't have pictures. It's about God, and I didn't have a picture. Her book's full of pictures, okay? I wanted to give you a word picture of him if I could, because he's beautiful. He's wonderful. He's awesome. He's majestic. He's glorious. My wife and I have been through some storms. And as you probably know and can tell, there's some adjustment in our ministry. And that's okay. But I got this from Henry Slaughter. Anybody know who that is? I'm not saying Henry has seen all of what we're saying, but he has our material. And he has been spirit-filled since 1952. God knows how to encourage us. I got this letter a few weeks ago from Henry. He says, last Saturday, during our service, I had this come to mind regarding you. The Lord says to you, in all the changes taking place now in your ministry, I am not demoting you, I am promoting you. I will do a new thing in you, and you will do a new thing for me. I wept over that. I'm willing to suffer for the truth. The Apostle Paul said, for Christ, I have suffered the loss of all things. Paul said, I've lost it all. One place he said, all they in Asia are turned against me. And he was in a jail. But you know, he wrote that book of Philippians, and it's called the Happy Epistle. It was written from a Roman jail, and 14 times in that little four-chapter epistle, he uses the word joy and rejoice. So if Paul could be happy in a Roman jail, I can sure be happy with people that love God and love one another. Carpet on the floor, air conditioned. I tell you, I'm so happy, I'm about to have me a spell here tonight. Hallelujah. All right. After God gave me the promise of the book and some other awesome promises in 1986, we lived in expectancy. For 4 years, we traveled on the road with our band and with our family and our bus driver. We had about 11 people on the bus. God did some awesome things in our group. We had a revival in the Hemp Hill group, and by the help of the Lord, it spilled over into some of the other groups. One day, somebody had a prayer request on the bus, and so I just asked the driver to pull over to the truck stop and park, and we got to praying for that request, and the Holy Ghost fell, and two of our musicians got baptized with the Holy Ghost on the bus at the truck stop. So God did some awesome things, but we're looking and we're expecting and we're looking for a book about God's glory, and I'm looking for God to reveal himself to me in his word. And what came was colon cancer and surgery and diapers for weeks. And then I sat and stared at the wall for 2 years and I said, I don't understand. I don't understand. I don't understand. That's the number one thing I said for 2 years. I couldn't go get a haircut by myself. This pretty white-haired lady took me to Goodlettsville every 2 weeks to get my hair cut. I couldn't go by myself. I couldn't go gas up the car. Couldn't go to the grocery store by myself. I've never been afraid of anything in my life. I'm not bragging. I just never was a fearful person. I'm an alligator hunter. That's what I do for a hobby. I've killed dozens. I'm an alligator hunter, okay? I'm not a fearful person. I can show you pictures you wouldn't believe. They're twice as tall as me. I've never been afraid. And then for 2 years, I lay on the couch in a spirit of fear. There was days I lay on the couch and literally held on. And I thought, God must be a million miles from me. Where are those promises? And the enemy whispered in my ear and said, God cares nothing about you, and your problems prove it. And all those promises that God made you are down the drain, you blew it. Well, let me tell you something. God didn't say, if you do this and if you do that, I'll do this. God said, I'm going to do it. He said, I'm going to reveal myself to you in my word, and you're going to write a book about my glory. Somebody asked me Wednesday night after service, said, how you know you're okay now? I said, well, I'm certified sane. I got the papers to prove it. There's nobody here but me probably got their doctor's certification right here that you're of sound mind. Sunday morning, November the 8th, 1992, in a service like this, with the Holy Spirit present as he is here tonight. No sweeter people than you. No better praying people than you. I sat back there as far back in the corner as I could get with my darling wife on Sunday morning. Only went on Sunday morning. Couldn't pay the light bill. Didn't talk on the telephone. Didn't want people to know what happened to the fella that wrote, he's still working on me. But that morning, my pastor got up. Thank God for men that are sensitive to the Holy Spirit. He got up and he said, come up here, Brother Hemphill. God just spoke to me. He's going to heal you this morning. They say one out of every four people has serious mental problems. They say check three of your friends, and if it's not them, it might be you. It was me. But I'm now telling the world that God Almighty healed my body and delivered me. He said, I'm the Lord that healeth thee. And he did exactly what he said he would do. He opened my understanding to his word. He revealed himself to me in his word. He let me write a book about his glory. And I'm here tonight to declare his faithfulness. Would you give him a hand clap of praise? Hallelujah. Great is our God. Great is our God. My testimony is just like King David's. He said in chapter 40 of Psalms, verses 1, 2, and 3, I cried to God out of a horrible pit. Here it is. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined his ear unto me, and he heard my cry. Everybody say, he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit. I've been in that horrible pit. But I want you to know that my voice entered in before his throne, and he hearkened unto my cry. He lifted me up out of the miry clay. He set my feet on the solid rock. He established my going, and he put a new song in my mouth, praises to our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I didn't write, sing, record, or minister for over 2 years. I was healed November the 8th. My doctor dismissed me, certified me sane, but I didn't write songs until May the 16th. I'm going to tell you a little story here that you need to hear. We went to a church in Alabama where my brother-in-law pastored. An evangelist that I'd never seen before called me up from the front and laid hands on me, said, "You're a songwriter and you're going to write songs today." And I'm thinking, you reckon I really will? Because I hadn't written in 2 or 3 years, been in depression. But on the way back to Nashville from Birmingham, I wrote 3 songs. I'd never written 3 songs in a day. I wrote 6 that week. I'd never done that before. You know, when God restores, he does a good job of it. Can you say amen? He's a restoration God. Somebody would just wave your hand just like that in agreement. He's a restoration God. Let me tell you what, it made the devil angry. I'm glad to know I can upset him. I owe him one. After I wrote on Sunday, things broke loose on Monday. Our family came under attack. Our daughter Candy was carrying twins and lost one of them. Thank God she kept our grandson Nicholas. He's a healthy boy. A dog attacked one of our granddaughters, and she was sent to the hospital. Lightning struck our house. I believe it was Tuesday. I had a wreck on Tuesday. I mean, things just came against us. The worst thing that happened, at 11 o'clock on Monday night, after I wrote those songs on Sunday, Candy lost one grandbaby that she was expecting of the twins at about 6 o'clock that afternoon. At 11 o'clock that night, our little 3.5-month-old granddaughter, Madeline Grace, was found dead in her crib. She was downstairs with her daddy. He was in his undershorts. Our daughter-in-law had gone to upstairs to prepare the bedroom. This little darling had been fed and put down in her bassinet several hours before. And sometime between her feeding and 11 o'clock, she died. And our son is a businessman. Him and his brother have a bus leasing business, and they lease to some of the top people in the music industry. They hauled President Bush in the last campaign on 2 armored buses. I'm not bragging, I'm just telling you, Trent's a businessman, no-nonsense kind of a guy, but he believes in the Lord. We taught him. And when he reached under that baby and found her cold and stiff, and lifted her up, and her little arms were up, and her eyes rolled back, and she was cold underneath her stomach, although she was lying on her stomach. Trent panicked, obviously. He saw his pants on the back of the chair, and he threw the baby on the couch, partly to try to get a response and partly to get his pants. But when she bounced and did not change expression, he forgot his pants. And he grabbed that baby up and ran outside and held this baby up to the sky and began to scream, "No, Jesus, no. Give me back my baby. I'll serve you. I'll live for you. I'll do anything you want me to do." And our daughter-in-law came running down the stairs saying, "Is she dead? Is she dead?" And Trent says, "Yes, she's dead." They jumped in the car, and our daughter-in-law driving and Trent holding the baby and still screaming the mighty name of Jesus. They lived about 3 miles from the hospital. We only lived about a mile. The phone rang. We thought it was Candy, maybe lost the other grandbaby, but no, it was Trent, and little Madeline Grace had been found dead. But here's the good news. We rushed to the hospital and got there shortly after they did. By the time we got there, the little darling was screaming to the top of her lungs. Hallelujah. Nurses scurrying around trying to quieten her down. Trent said, "Let that baby cry. That's the sweetest sound I ever heard. Just let her cry." He said, "By the way, you got anything I can put on?" He's standing there in his undershirt. They gave him a scrub-up uniform. Let me tell you, we just had a worship time right there in that hospital. The next Sunday, we met at church, not for a funeral, but to celebrate him that said, "I am the resurrection and the life, and any man in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Folks, there's power in the name of Jesus. The nurses sent a breathing monitor home with her, and it went off 3 more times in the next 4 months. She'd have died 3 more times, but they had the monitor to wake them up. There was no monitor on May the 17th, 11 p.m., except the Holy Spirit, and He's enough. He's enough. Folks, God still hears the cry of hurting people. There's power in prayer. There's power in the mighty name of Jesus. LaBriska wants you to know that Madeline goes to a Christian school. She was 15 yesterday, and she was voted Student of the Year of 900 children. LaBriska wants you to know that. She's a proud grandmother. Folks, if y'all will pardon me, I'm going to shout a little more. God is so good. Would you just stand to your feet and just worship the Lord? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Great is our God. Great is our God. Hallelujah. Faithful and true. My God, you're awesome. Thank you for what you're doing in the church and in the earth to bring about your purpose and your